Okay, I think we should make a start. So, Christina, can we have who's on the call and who has apologised, please?
Yes, on the call we have Nigel, Eberhard, Keith, Dottie, Desiree, Martin, Bernie, Chris, Suzanne, Catherine, Becky, Youngim, Bart, Christina, Paulus. And I think that Paulus has an echo.
Hello, this is Patricio.
Okay, no, it's Patricio. Patricio, you have an echo on your line. Could you go star 6 and then go star 7 when you want to speak?
Okay.
Thank you. I think that's Paulus rejoining. I only have apologies from Jaap.
Is it the feeling of the meeting that that is the correct list of attendees and that the apologies be accepted? Thank you. Could I ask everyone, since we do have quite a number on tonight's call, to remember to mute your phone if you're not speaking, and it will cut down on the interference and background noise quite considerably.
And the muting is star 7?
Star 6 and then star 7 to speak, to unmute.
Okay.
Did somebody else join? Oh, someone.
Yes, the Dan Doteres.
Sorry?
Dan Doteres.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for joining. Okay, let's get underway with our agenda. I assume there's no changes to the agenda since nobody had commented on the list. So, moving along, I think if there's anything that arises, we can bring it up in any other business. So, the first real item of business on the agenda is item 3, confirmation of the record of the last meeting, and that document's now up on Adobe Connect. And Bernie, do you want to give us a quick walk through this record?
I'd love to. I have to be presenter, Christina. Oops, did I lose everyone?
No.
No, there she is. She can speak and work at the same time.
Okay, here we go. All right. This is very nice. Okay, here we go. It should be full screen for everyone now. Attendees are as listed, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. The agenda was confirmed. The October 14th meeting report was accepted with minor corrections. Final report on the retirement of CCTLDs. We've made the adjustments to include YAPS ISO 3166 retirement policy that is now he managed to get for us and is official, and so we've included a note as we discussed earlier at a previous meeting in the retirement report stating that we've got the ISO 3166 retirement policies as an annex for reference, and the most interesting part of that is, of course, the period for which a name is reserved. Item 5, draft delegation report and discussion. The current version was 5 with the changes that we had put in, and we removed fencering and use the English spelling for delegee, change redelegate to redelegate, so minor stuff, and general discussion on the options for interpretation of rules and or PDP. So basically, if you haven't been around for a while, we been having a chat. The reports, the body of the reports have been slightly adjusted. We've done some adjustment of the language, but they basically remained as they are. The big discussion that's going on is around do we recommend that is in the recommendation section, and the way they've been presented so far is do nothing, propose new interpretation guidelines as opposed to a PDP, or recommend a PDP. Part of the discussion has been that if we go on PDPs for everything, it may be unrealistic for several reasons and impractical. So it may be worth to think about doing recommendations, interpretation recommendations, recommend that the CCNSO put together a committee of some form to develop interpretation guidelines for the board regarding delegations, redelegations, and so this could produce results much more quickly and affect CCTLDs or resolve some of the issues that we're bringing up much more quickly, and it leaves open the possibility of a PDP if that route does not work. Moving on to Section 6, there were some general editorial comments. They were fixed, and then Section 7 was moving on to the schedule of meetings, which brings us to this meeting. Any questions on the meeting report from the last meeting? Hearing none, I'll hand it over back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Bernie. Obviously, we can agree that that is an accurate report from the last meeting. And so moving ahead with the agenda, we have item 4, which is the final retirements report. And my apologies for not having this out sooner, but I did circulate it to the list just in the last 15 or 20 minutes, and I'd just add that the only change to this report to the previously agreed retirement report is the addition of the appendix on ISO, so no substance of the report has changed. But if we could, Christina, get that report up on screen. And Bernie, if you can just flick through to that appendix, and we'll just have a very quick look at it, I think, and invite any comments. And just, really, what I'm seeking is the working group's agreement that the appendix is appropriate and provides some useful information for the PDP when it proceeds. So, Bernie, do you want to walk us through that?
The only change versus the report that was approved by the working group 3 meetings ago is this section that is in front of you right now. Note, Annex C contains information on ISO practices for the deletion of codes from ISO 3166. These should be of interest to the community. So I don't think that's contentious. And if we move down to Annex C, I don't mean to give anyone vertigo by going so quickly, but here is Annex C. And the interesting part and it's the reservation of deleted codes, which is about in the middle of your screen, which the transitionally reserved period is usually 50 years. To phase out the codes. The rest is ISO 3166 procedural discussions and presentations. That's about it, sir. There's no other changes.
Okay, and I think just to highlight that since our recommendation on this retirement report is for a PDP, the important issue to remember is that the ICANN board have been requiring retired CCTLD codes to wind up within 2 years, and the important aspect with the ISO process is the 50-year reservation period after the deletion of that code. So I think that's quite an important fact that shouldn't be lost sight of along the way. Are there any questions at all on this? I have Desiree's hand up. Desiree.
Hello, I hope you can hear me. I have a question with this new added part of the annex from the ISO 3166 requiring that the deleted code element be reserved for 50 years. Is that a new part of the ISO 3166-1 policy?
Yeah,
The reason I'm asking is I wonder if this policy was in place when .cs was reallocated briefly to Serbia and Montenegro.
Not sure about the answer on that, but it is a relatively new policy for ISO, and it's been going through a process of clarification, I think, for about 2 or 3 years.
Okay, it appears to be new, so, okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any other questions? Is everyone happy to sign off this as the final retirement report? So I'm not hearing any voices against it, so thank you very much for that. If we can move on to item 5 on the agenda, which is to have a look at the delegations report. Again, Bernie, if you can walk us through it. And Desiree, do you have your hand up again, or do you want to, or is it just still up from
No, I'll other? Take it down, thank you.
Okay. Bernie.
Sir, thank you.
Bernie, before you start, Everhart's just raised his hand.
Okay, just to make sure, did we just approve the retirement report?
Yes.
Okay, you've moved I second. There's formally no formal objection to that.
Okay.
I just want to do it properly on the record.
Okay, and I'll invite anyone who wishes to vote against to say so. And anyone who wishes to abstain to say so. So I'll accept that as a unanimous resolution of the working group. Thank you.
Excuse me, Keith. This is Suzanne.
Yes, Suzanne.
Hi there. I just wanted to ask you for guidance. As just a liaison, I should probably abstain, I suppose.
Yes, I guess we should automatically note all the expert advisors, staff, and liaisons from actually voting. So we'll automatically record those as abstentions or just as non-votes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. And do I have Eberhardt's hand up again?
Yes, I actually don't agree with that because we don't really vote and we have this as a consensus, and I don't think that only that we have got two different classes of voting and non-voting members. As long as we have consensus, it makes no difference, and I would then note it as consensus.
Okay, I think that's probably quite appropriate that by consensus we agreed to accept the report. Okay, sorry, Bernie, would you like to walk us through the delegation report?
Yes, sir. Since we've got some new people, I'll run through it from the top quickly, although there have been only minor editorial and formatting changes to match up. The reasons for that, for the formatting change slightly, is that as we progress with the other reports, we come up with some new ways of presenting things, and then we go back and adjust the old reports so there is consistency between them. It doesn't change the content. It just changes sometimes numbering in the way we order some things. If you've been away for a while, basically what we usually start out with is Section 1, Current Processes, Practices, and Procedures. In 1.1, we usually run through what is documented clearly as rules. As you see in 1.1.1, we've got RFC 1591, and we talk about the relevant things. In the case of delegations, there's so much stuff we haven't bothered to include it. What we've done is included it in Annex A and highlighted the relevant sections. So all of RFC 1591 is in Annex A, and all the relevant sections to delegations have been highlighted. Similarly, 1.12, News Memo 1, and ICP 1, and the GAC principles, and 1.15, the IANA procedure for establishing CCTLDs. So basically, we've gone through that documentation and highlighted the things that are relevant. What we've got in 1.15, if you're not familiar with that document from IANA, is although it's called IANA Procedure for Establishing CCTLDs, it talks mainly about the ISO 3166 list and how to get a country code on there. So it's a little bit confusing. However, 1.16, Understanding the Delegation and Redelegation Procedure from IANA, is a comprehensive description of the process and procedures for delegation. 1.17 is the Sponsorship Agreement, and 1.18 1.17 was the board decision to require sponsorship agreements and the relevant documentation to that. 1.18 was the ISO 3166-1 exceptionally reserved list, which allowed .eu. When we move on to section 1.2, it's inferred processes, procedures, or practices, i.e., these are not decisions that were, these are board decisions, usually, which were not taken as generally applicable to all CCTLDs, but by their very nature end up being cases which generate precedence for use in CCTLDs. So, 1.21 is the first one, no longer allowing individuals as delegees for CCTLDs. You will note that we're trying to go through these chronologically. So 1.21 is September 2001. 1.22, the TL delegation in January 2005. In each one of these, you've got the reference to the IANA report with its URL. You've got the reference to the board decision with its URL and some comments relative to what went on. 123.eu, 124.kz or Kazakhstan was, it was one of the first delegations which did not require a sponsorship agreement. 125.ax, nothing significant there. .kp in September 2007, nothing significant. .me. Yes, we've gone through all of them, if you're asking your question, and looked at all the documentation and passed a comment on these. Nothing significant on .me. .rf. From the delegation point of view, there was nothing exceptional. In redelegation, that's another story. The reason we have 129.co or Columbia is that the decision, if you look at the documentation from IANA, introduces new language relative to the evaluation of the security and stability of the Internet for the delegation of new domains. So as such, that's there as documented information. And that concludes Section 1. I will take questions at this point if there are any. Hearing none, I'll move on. Section 2, we usually try to run through the analysis of the various points that were presented in the previous section and in the same order. I will not bore you. We've gone through Section 2.1, where we go through RFC 1591, News Memo 1, ICT 1, the GAC principles. And we comment these things relative to delegation. We then move to Section 2.2, where we look at the various cases that were presented in Section 1 and dive in a bit more on the relevant cases. Then we move on to Section 3, where we look at issues. Are there any questions on Section 2? Hearing none, moving on to issues. 3.1, prior to the creation of...
Sorry, it's Martin Boyle here, Bernie. I do have one little question, and that was when you went through the 2.1.4, where you say IANA has published a description of the processes and procedures it uses for the delegation of CCTLDs. Is that actually a formal document?
Well, under our definitions of documentation, it is. It's up on the website, and that is its title. So it is, as far as I'm concerned, as formal as we get in this universe.
Okay, so that is the document on the IANA website that you're referring to there.
That is correct. If you go to 114, you will get the URL, and it's included in the annexes to this report.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Eberhard has a question, please.
Yeah, I missed the first part of what Martin was saying. Was he referring to News Memo 1? Because I cannot see in this report any footnote that there is disagreement about whether we can make use of it or not.
No, he was not talking about News Memo 1L. He was talking about 1.1.4, I believe, or 5, which is about the IANA procedure explaining delegations and redelegations.
Okay.
But you
so
bring up
then I would bring up this as its own point. I'm still not satisfied with the situation that News Memo 1 is being used as a document without any qualification. We have repeatedly agreed that there must be at least some form of qualification. I think the document should not be included at all, but that's my own personal opinion. If they have any qualification, we should at least...
Ouch.
We should at least have some form of qualification with a footnote that there is disagreement within the group.
Eberhard, what I can do is I think we've basically agreed language redelegation report on RFC 1591, News Memo 1, and ICP-1, and what I would suggest is I'll just bring that language over to this report for consistency.
I would appreciate if we have it in every report in the same manner, in a footnote or whatever, that there is disagreement within the group. That's it. That would be enough for me to not vote against anything, in with regards to the consensus.
Okay, so what I'm going to suggest, Eberhard, is that we're going to go through the redelegation report in a few minutes anyway, and we can go through that text because I know that it's properly inserted in the redelegation report and I just failed to insert it in this one. So that would be, as far as I'm concerned, a minor correction.
Okay.
for consistency.
Okay, so you just noticed that I pay attention.
Yes, sir, you always do. Are there any other questions relative to Section 2?
No other questions, I don't think. So carry on, Danny.
Okay, thank you. Back to Section 3. 3.1, prior to the creation of CCNSO, the ICANN board has failed to follow its own process procedures developing formal rules that apply to delegation of CCTLDs. The September 2000 decision for sponsorship agreements, September 2000 decision on the ISO exceptional reserve list. The Section 3.2, we're talking about the approval of the .KZ redelegation where we no longer require sponsorship agreements, and the IANA report on the redelegation of CO that now brings in the stability and security requirement and the delegation redelegation of CCTLDs. In 3.3, we've got that text we were talking about, which I will adjust in Section 2 to match up to the other reports. Although I can refer to ICP-1 as a restatement of RFC 1591 and News Memo Number 1, ICP-1, which applies to delegation of CCTLDs, there are a number of issues which ICP-1, not supported by the community, which is the language we've worked out between us, including Nigel. Then we talk about the public consultation report after Brussels, which had some classification of ICP-1 and some of the other comments. 3.4, there's no publicly documented process or procedure for updating IANA processes or procedures that apply to CCTLDs. Documentation has also demonstrated that there can be significant changes to these, such as dropping the requirement for sponsorship agreements without any consultation or notice. It simply appears on the website. IANA documentation on its processes and procedures for the delegation of CCTLDs could be improved. As we've discussed, there's the whole point of terminology. The terminology for the entity to whom a CCTLD is delegated has evolved over time from manager to sponsoring organization without any input from the community. Probably to line up with GTLD terminology, the term sponsorship or organization seems inadequate to many. This and any other naming issues potentially including role accounts should be reviewed in order to ensure they properly reflect the situation. And just to note that in 3.7, IDN CCTLDs are the subject of a CCNSO PDP and place these beyond the scope of this working group. So that's Section 3 on delegation issues. I'll take questions on these at this point. Keith, there's nothing?
No one has their hand up, so
okay.
Carry on.
Recommendations, what we do is we, if you've been missing the calls, we look at the three standard options for a recommendation from this group, which is 4.1.1, the current situation is acceptable, and we list some potential reasons for that. The current situation requires some changes but does not justify a PDP, and this could mean that there are, the CCNSO decides to strike a committee to develop interpretation guidelines of the rules that are out there for the delegation of CCTLDs to provide guidance to the ICANN board on these things. 4.1.3 is the option that the current situation is completely unacceptable and requires a PDP. And 4.2 then looks at some of the reasons why you may want to consider one or the other of the options. In this case, we're looking more at option 4.1.2, interpretation, and 4.1.3, a PDP. Nigel has made a case over several calls that his preference rests with recommending a PDP. There have been counter-arguments at a variety of levels that say, well, are there that many things wrong with delegation? Do we need a PDP? And could we not go with 4.1.2, sort of the middle of the road? Some changes are required, which would probably take the form of new interpretation guidelines developed by a committee that is struck by the CCNSO. And I believe that's about where we are now, because that question was not resolved. I'll be glad to take questions or hand it back over to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Bernie. I think Nigel was coming around to the view that a graduated response that might see some enhancements to the guidelines or the procedures that the board would operate under would be to a degree satisfactory. If not, then as a final recourse to undergo a PDP. Not that I'm wanting to put words into Nigel's mouth, but I think there was some degree of this concept of a graduated response as being the acceptable option. Martin has his hand up for a question.
Well, I think it's appropriate. I would comment on that before Martin, but it's up to you.
Okay, go ahead, Nigel. I didn't see a hand up, so happy to have your comment.
Okay. I think possibly there's been some misunderstanding on my position. On the one hand, it's very weak, as in I'm kind of relaxed about the practical effects of this. On the other hand, it's extremely strong in that I think there's a very important point of principle. First of all, in effect, we all know that this has generally been working okay. I don't think anybody will dispute that. So from a utilitarian point of view, the question is, you know, why bother and disturb things that kind of working? The difficulty I've got is that we are dealing with everything in a holistic manner here. We are looking at the whole system and what is right with it and what is wrong with it, etc., etc. And in common with other parts of the ICANN process outside of the CC structure, what is wrong is a lack of legislative certainty. We don't have policy. Therefore, the ICANN board feel free, as we've seen in Bernie's very clever and thorough work in summarizing all of this, the ICANN board of various compositions over the years have seen fit to simply make policy on the fly. We shouldn't even be talking about inferred policy. We should either have a written down policy which the board follow and interpret and use discretion within, or the board can't do it. So my point is this, is that if we feel there are any changes that can improve delegation as well as retirement and redelegation, then it has to be done so that we have to develop a formal policy process. It's not good enough to say an ad hoc process whereby people make it up as they go along, even if they get it sort of right, is good enough, and that's my view.
Okay, thanks, Nigel. Martin, you have your hand up. Martin?
Thanks, Keith. I managed to miss the last bit of what Nigel was saying. It appeared that he, from where I was sitting, he was drowning. But my comment was very much along the same lines. I think one of the things that I find concerning is the fact that there are very few clear, very clear criteria outlined, and when you look through Annex F, it is actually quite vague. And what you then pick up, as Nigel's just pointed out, is the case law that appears to have just come in. That, bearing in mind the board's decision last Friday, actually counts for nothing because we have had no formal decision. But in fact, I wondered whether what we really needed to do first was to go through and see whether we could do a first trial. We actually got to the stage of saying, well, actually, you know, we ought to be looking at how to define. Before we actually do that, we should actually try and say clearly what are the real rules of existence. So perhaps a step between 4.1 and 4.1.1 and 4.1.2.
Yeah, okay, thanks, thanks, Matt. And does it? Is that a suggestion that would help alleviate your concerns, Nigel? Nigel?
Most of what Martin said was obscured by white noise.
Okay. Let's come back to that then. I have Eberhardt and then Chris with their hands up. So Eberhardt.
I just thought about this when Nigel and Martin were speaking. I also didn't understand everything Martin was saying. Can the board actually make any policy unless there is a PDP of sorts for whatever constituency is affected? The other thing is, if we now say, okay, for constituency purposes, let's not make a PDP, but because it's sort of working, does this affect PDP on retirement and, if any, on redelegation, or the other way around, will any of these PDPs affect that? I really would like, I don't know the rule, can board make policy or must it be a PDP?
I guess that's quite an interesting issue that Chris would probably be best to comment on, but I think the answer is base. No, the ICANN board is not empowered to develop a policy that can affect the CCLD community without this, you know, it's a bottom-up process that comes from CLDs. But notwithstanding that, in the bylaws, ICANN must do everything in its power to preserve the security and stability of the internet. So if it came to an issue where they had no policy that was of threat to the security and stability, they would have to. I'll hand over to Chris, if he has his hand up anyway, to perhaps clarify that a little more.
Thanks, Keith. Yes, I agree with you in how you've described it, but we probably need to be perhaps slightly blunter. The situation is that dealing with the generic point about can the ICANN board make policy, the answer is basically no. However, as we have all experienced ourselves looking at dealing with ICANN, as you only have to experience by looking at the GTLD process, a definition of what is policy, what is administrative, what is implementation is very fluffy, and there's a whole heap of stuff that some people would argue is policy, others would argue is implementation, administration, and so on. And certainly as a CCTLD manager, I know that that's a wonderful thing to have, because I can argue sometimes that what I'm doing is not policy but administration, and because it's administration, I can make the decision rather than having to go through a policy process to come up with it. So, Eberhard, I know that's not a satisfactory answer to your question, but I think it's just a fact of life. To deal with the specific point about does a decision on the delegation report in respect to a policy development process have any effect on a decision on the retirement report in respect to a policy development process? No, I don't think it does. I think you could argue, I would argue that there is literally zero policy in respect to retirement of CCTLDs as CCTLDs, as opposed to entries in the ISO 31661 list. And so therefore, it's pretty clear that a policy development process needs to happen in order for there to be some policy. In respect to delegations, I would argue that there is existing, quote, policy. It doesn't matter whether you can argue about News Memo 1, you can argue about ICP 1, let's ignore them. You've got 1591 with some statements in it, you've got the GAC principles with some statements in it. CCs will argue that 1591 is policy, the GAC will argue that the GAC principles are policy. The danger of pushing a policy development process in these areas where there is existing written policy that is relied upon is that the policy development process will create an outcome which will effectively be binding whether you like it or not, because it will be, if the CCNSO decides that it's policy, it will become the way that IANA does its business. And if we, on the other hand, were to take the slightly less formal route, which is to produce a series of guidelines, that allows for two things. Yes, it allows the board perhaps to ignore them or to interpret them in certain ways that we might not like, but that, I think, is the quid pro quo for us being able to say, and I am not prepared, and I don't agree with it, and therefore I'm not bound by it. If it goes through a policy development process, even if at the end of the, and that would be governed by the CCNSO's policy development process rules, which have strict parameters set down for members voting and who's in favour and so on and so forth, if you don't like the result, then yes, you can always walk away from the CCNSO, assuming that you currently belong, but if it becomes IANA practice, you're stuck with it, and you have nothing else you can do other than go to court. So my strong view is that from the point of view of flexibility, and I would argue this is both from a government point of view and from a CCTLD point of view, producing colour and depth for the board in a series of guidelines is far more powerful on the one hand, but far more flexible on the other, and gives us almost as much wiggle room as we could possibly hope for.
Well said.
Thank you, Chris. Eberhard has his hand up.
I didn't mean that what the PDP for one issue decides has an impact on whether we need to do a PDP. But if, for example, a retirement policy has to happen and is done, the decisions may well have an impact on the others. And if there were to be a delegation PDP, the decisions there or the policies designed there may well have an impact on practice. That's what I mean when one influences the other. Yeah. To be honest, I don't really care whether we call it a policy. What I do care about is fundamental fairness, especially to people who have been doing a satisfactory job for many years. And at the moment, it's done on the fly. How the board wants it, or whoever is I don't know even whether it's the board. I can just what they want, when they want, where they want, the way they want it, and it's really difficult to even get somebody who's responsible and to take you on, because it's everybody says it's this and that and this and somebody else, and ombudsman is retiring and whatnot. I'm done.
Well, I heard Eberhard speaking, but I can't hear anybody else now.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my fault. I was still on mute and just talking to myself. Thanks, Eberhard.
I was thinking I caused all to be stunned in silence.
Well, does that reflect too on Nigel's point that until you sort of know the summary outcome of all the parts of these reports, it's a bit hard to commit to a path of action. But I've got Nigel Roberts. It was Nigel Roberts the second, but it's now Nigel Roberts with his hand up.
Yeah, thanks. I think this is where Chris and I will maintain a principled disagreement, because it's exactly what he's talking about, this wiggle room, that I don't want to see. I want to see clear policy, and that clear policy followed by the executive branch. And for far too long, we've had make-it-up-as-you-go-along policy, and I don't really think that's satisfactory. And I think the creation of CCTLDs, which is relatively uncontroversial and which has relatively worked in the past, is a perfect example of saying, well, we're still operating on rules that were developed by John Postel in the early 90s. It's about time we revisited it and did it. And as we're going to do retirement anyway, and almost certainly we're going to do change of manager as well, then we should do everything with a holistic approach. So I will firmly come down on the side of the fact that we need a PDP for all aspects of the question before the panel.
Okay. I think that one of the confusing issues is, or maybe that the interpretation by some is that the ICANN board is looking to make policy as they go, and they have, you know, reasonably consistently made comments back to the CCNSO over the years, saying, you know, we have decisions on what we have in front of us, and you know, we would like clarity of policy in this regard. So they've been left in somewhat of a vacuum because we haven't come up with policy. But again, I take Chris's very strong point that you know, policy through better guidelines or corralling where the ICANN board can have discretion or not have discretion would potentially be a more useful vehicle than a very finite set of policies which would have to be very prescriptive and apply in every instance, which may not allow for the individual circumstances of a particular case. However, I've got Martin and then Chris with their hands up. So, Martin.
Thanks, Keith. I'm not greatly convinced that what Nigel and Chris are saying are actually different. I think what I'm hearing from all sides is a concern about a policy that is primarily based on opinion, and quite a flexible opinion at that, and that that lack of clarity causes problems on both sides. But I think my overall concern sort of leads me to think that there probably is an intermediate piece of work needed. I would certainly favour doing two option two before going into a PDP. But I actually think that from the reasonably clear in our own mind where there are issues of a variety of interpretation that for me very strongly in Mike Silver's response. Said that he was essentially that when the board members suddenly thought that something was important, they would then just raise it. That Manal from Egypt, the IDN delegation, said that as a country, as a regulator, they were finding it exceptionally frustrating to have ICANN keep on coming back to them with more demands for information. So I think we actually need to just have some better clarification on exactly what those criteria that come out from the earlier documents, the formal documents, and see what then whether any of those need to be more firmly qualified. Then I think we probably are looking at trying to define guidelines first, and if that is then serious, then we have to go the whole hog into a PDP. I need to do a graduated process. Thanks.
Thanks, Martin. Chris has his hand up, and also Nigel. I thought, Nigel, you'd left your hand up from last time, but maybe at some point. But I think let's go to Chris first, then... Oh, no. Okay, Chris.
I'm the sole hand. Oh, no, Desiree. Okay. Well, look, let me be... dangerous sounds like a politician, but let me be frank or blunt. I take Nigel's point, but I'm actually the other way, sort of like spinning the other way around. I'm less concerned about running a policy development process on delegation than I'm about running one on redelegation. And it just strikes me that that for consistency. And yes, Nigel, I will be Francesca if it makes you feel better. I have genuine, real serious concerns about the concept that we would launch a policy development process that's going to look at delegation or redelegation, and risk coming to a consensus point that is literally just over the tipping point where you would say it's consensus, and have a significant minority of CCTLDs, really against the decision-making process in a PDP. I also think that our current policy development process is, for very good reason, has very specific processes in place to deal with the Governmental Advisory Committee liaison with it, and liaison with other SOs and ACs, but in this particular instance it really is only the Governmental Advisory Committee that matters, and that having to force the decisions that we might want to make, or the nuances that we might want to add to the current situation through a policy development process, is actually really quite dangerous. And we would be far more in control and far more able to manage the process if we were creating a series of guidelines. So I'm curious to know, Nigel, why you think it needs to be policy. Is it because you think it needs to be binding on the ICANN board? And if that's the case, then would you consider other possible ways of making it binding on them by but going through a guideline process rather than a PDP?
Well, to answer it very briefly, and I think I've made my point, so it's a matter for submission at the end of the consideration by the tribunal, shall we say, and if it turns out that I and maybe one or two others record a dissenting view, that's not the worst thing in the world.
No,
but
no.
My view is very simple. We're asked to consider whether the CCNSO should produce policy in this area. We've chosen to split it up into three bite-sized chunks, and although I don't remember the question itself being chopped up into three chunks, as in, do we have to answer the same question differently for each of the chunks, we agreed to consider the chunks separately for the purpose of consideration. But it's my view that this has to be done in a holistic manner. You cannot consider re-delegation without considering delegation, and therefore if the answer to any of the questions that we've asked ourselves is that we should do a PDP, my view is we should do a holistic PDP. It's as simple as that.
Okay, thanks, Nigel. Desiree, you had your hand up, but it went down. Do you have a question?
Thank you. Well, I think Chris has highlighted some of my concerns. If this becomes if we were to recommend this to be a CCNSO policy development process, just because the CCNSO still is not inclusive and it doesn't include all the CCTLD members. So I would like us maybe to start thinking also whether that is a concern and whether that is something that would require this flexibility whereby tools and guidelines are something that is more useful that the board can use and that would give guidance to other CCTLDs as well. So I'm currently leaning towards tools and guidance on the basis that the CCNSO does not include all the membership. However, I think all these documents that the working group has produced is a solid base to produce next set of guidance to sift through all the previous board decisions and historically look at the redelegations that have taken place.
Thanks, Desiree. And you do raise the very important point, of course, that delegations and hostile redelegations are considered by the ICANN board often on CCTLDs who are not members of the CCNSO. So any policy development process would bind the decision-making body to all CCTLDs, not just CCNSO members. Eberhardt.
Whether it's a policy or whether it's something or how you call it, or guidelines, I want security. I want to know this is the process that ICANN is going to handle their change in their processes, policies, guidelines, whatever you call it, every 5 minutes, no matter how they, any way they want. I really don't care whether we need a PDP, whether we need a guideline, whether we need 3 PDPs. I want stability. I want predictability. I want, and this is basically like basic law 101 in a common law jurisdiction, that same cases are handled the same way and that people who have businesses or not, but can depend on this is the way this is going to happen, this is the way, and never mind that this is a bilateral thing. None of the parties involved, other than ICANN, is in any way concerned about the third party or the other way around. ICANN never discusses this with the third party, CCTLDs, to say, look, this is the way we want to go ahead. They just go and change their way of doing it, and that's it. That is not acceptable. And the only way of preventing from putting a stop to this or for preventing this, unfortunately, seems to be a DDP whether I would like the outcome or not. If we can do it with a guideline, if we can convince the board to start behaving themselves, it's a different thing. And I don't care which way we use either way.
Okay, thanks, Everhard. Chris, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Keith. And I agree to a degree with Everhard. And I thought perhaps it might be helpful for me to give you a specific example so that we're clear about what we're talking about. Currently, every time, this is in respect to delegation, so not redelegation, delegation. The current situation with delegations is that the board is handling a number of delegations on a board meeting by board meeting basis, and they are IDN fast track delegations. And by their definition, by definition of the fast track, the majority of those delegations are in Arabic script or Chinese script or Cyrillic script, and the nation states that use those scripts, generally speaking, have different standards of definition of local internet community, different understanding of what that might mean, and a different understanding of who represents the local internet community than might be the case in, say, Australia or Canada or New Zealand or the US. And the board is struggling to deal with how it can be satisfied that there is, in accordance with 1591, approval by the local internet community. Because in the case of some delegation applications, the governmental authority simply says, we represent the local internet community and we say that it's fine. Now that's a real problem, and that's a real problem that's happening practically every time there's a board meeting, because practically every time there's a board meeting there is a delegation request for an IDN CCTLD. Now, there are many ways of solving that problem, but the two ways we have before us are A, the possibility of a policy development process, which by its definition, because it is policy, would be required to provide a series of policy-driven steps, which would then result in the ICANN staff creating an implementation plan, which in turn would result in a series of written rules that dealt with how you demonstrate local internet community involvement. On the other hand, we have an opportunity to provide the board with a series of guidelines. Now, let me be really clear here. This is the one area in which the board has already asked the CCNSO for guidance. It's actually said to the CCNSO, can you please help us? Can you please tell us what you think local internet community means? It seems to me that if we go down the policy development route, we're going to end up fighting over something that is going to be set in stone as policy for a very long time. If, however, we take a route which we have taken before in respect to money, in respect to financial contributions to ICANN, which is to produce guidelines which are out there, and you say to the board, we recommend, and I would argue you do this in conjunction with the GAC, you produce guidelines, you say to the board, when it comes to deciding what local internet community is, you should follow these guidelines. It gives the board flexibility, but it also gives us flexibility, because it enables us to say, enables me to say in respect to Australia, or Everhard to say in respect to Namibia, or Nigel to say in respect to Guernsey, no, that does not apply in this case, because this is a separate issue and they are only guidelines and I can get around them. And that's, in a nutshell, to take a really specific example, why I think we need to stay with guidelines rather than policy.
Thanks, Chris. Everhard has his hand up.
One doesn't preclude the other, so I can live with guidelines. If we can still swing a hammer later if the board doesn't adhere to them. The point is not that we need guidelines for this different regimes to adhere to, but we need some form of predictability that, especially as far as delegation, redelegation, retirement, redelegation, delegation in that order is concerned, we need some predictability. In particular, as hostile redelegation is concerned, this is extremely serious. Whether we need a policy development process or whether we call it the gutters, as long as the board will commit itself to adhere to that, sure. The reason why the governments who have Chinese clip caps against IDF is they have got nuclear arms and lots of dollars bought up. They have got, it's a power issue. Small CCTLDs don't have leverage. But it's not right. It's not fair. And somehow we must get the board to realize that the way they're dealing with these issues must be done under a fundamental fairness principle.
Okay. Thanks, Everhart. And I think that raises the issue of how better guidelines might be developed, and the several methodologies of whether you would seek to have the ICANN board appoint a committee to look at producing guidelines in conjunction with the CCNSO and perhaps the GAC, whether we went to the GAC and asked the GAC to reinforce or strengthen its principles in agreement with the CCNSO and submit those to the board. You know, a number of different ways of handling that, but that provides a useful sort of framework for that sort of decision making. Patricio has his hand up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see two aspects to this question of whether guidance or a PDP are the better way to follow. First, the one advantage I see towards the
sorry, Patricio, can I just interrupt? Somebody has their phone off mute. Could they please mute? I can hear keyboard sounds. Sorry, Patricio.
That's okay. The guidelines process, since it's not really defined as such in any bylaws or other document, can be asked speedy as we want or manage. And that may be a real advantage if we want to get some rules in place in a reasonable time. The PDP process can drag along for many years. But on the other hand, I really fail to see the advantage of Chris's approach in the sense that guidelines are more flexible, and if we don't like the outcome, we might say, well, I don't like it, and it doesn't really apply to me because it's only a guideline. And the reason I don't see his point, which I would, if we were talking about something else, for instance, if it's financial contribution, I can understand it perfectly. But when we are talking about delegations or redelegations, if something is only a guideline, I see that it is giving wiggle room and flexibility to the board, because the board could say, we're not following what the CCNSO said because we think it's only a guideline, and we have reasons to act differently. But for the CCTLD, I don't see any wiggle room at all, because the subject matter is, are you or are you not the appointed manager for the CCTLD? And if the board decides that you are not, I don't see much point in you saying, the board are saying I'm not the manager, but I don't really think that applies to me because it's only a guideline. I don't think you're going to be able to say that the IANA database is going to get changed and the fact that you are not going to be the manager and you are going to have to go to court or whatever you think you can do, but the board decision will have an effect irrespective of whether you say that it's only a guideline. And that was my point.
Thank you, Patricia. That's most useful. And Nigel has his hand up.
Press star 7 again just to make sure. I don't want to monopolise this. I think others have taken up the cudgels. To me, it just seemed like a logical point I was making a meeting and a half ago. I accept what Chris says, that there may be some tactical reasons why another view is right. So I'm not really going to say too much more about this. The only thing is that I thought that the question to be decided before us was whether the CCNSO should launch a PDP on delegation, redelegation, and retirement of CCTLDs. And I think at the end of the day, we come up with a yes-no answer to that one question. I've always thought from the beginning that I knew what the answer was, but the work that we've done along the way has proved immensely useful, particularly with stuff that Bernie's done. With that, I'm going to leave it to Eberhard and the rest of you to fight over the scraps.
Okay, well, my feeling and summary of the discussions from previous calls and on this call is probably that there's no clear and absolute consensus, but probably the course of least resistance would be to have the concept of a graduated response for delegations, at least, so that we try, you know, that we seek to make an attempt to enhance guidelines to provide better guidance for the board, and if that fails, then a PDP becomes the only potential further option down the track. I have a feeling that's where we may end up seeking to, resolving as the recommendation on this particular report. But I'm not sure. Nigel, is your hand up again, or did you fail to take it down? Okay. Any other questions or comments at this stage? No. How comfortable would people feel with that concept of seeking to try the guideline approach for a fixed period of time, review, and if deemed unsatisfactory at that point, to go through a PDP? Eberhard has his hand up.
What Nigel said is quite right. We were asked by council to look at this and then make a recommendation to council whether we feel a PDP is required or not. The end decision is going to be made by council. So maybe we should just say the feeling is that a PDP is required, but we can suggest to council, let's try guidelines first, and if that doesn't work, we can still go and
Yeah, I think the issue for me is that we see distinctly different issues arising in the different areas of retirements, delegations, friendly redelegations and hostile redelegations. They're quite unique to each. And with retirements, it is quite clear that because there is no clear, distinct guideline policy or anything else, that the ICANN board is being forced into making decisions in a vacuum. And a PDP in that instance is very, very clear. With delegations, and at least with friendly redelegations, the issues are not quite so cut and dried. So, to suggest that a PDP for everything is required on the basis of just the fact that retirements require a PDP seems to me to be a bit overkill, and probably engages ICANN or the CCNSO in a very long process in order to get the policies developed and in place. And in the interim, there are lots of decisions being made on delegations and redelegations that are still being made by the board in the vacuum of not having clearer guidelines. So, you know, my distinct preference is still distinctly towards the graduated response of having an attempt to make better guidelines for the board, and if that fails, a PDP. And I'm getting the feeling that nobody is really vehemently opposed to that, although there may be some slightly differing preferences to that. Eberhard has his hand up.
I am vehemently opposed on principle.
Okay, thank you. So I think Nigel has expressed a clear view for a PDP, and so has Eberhard. So two of the members on the group. I guess I could suggest that consensus doesn't include unanimity, and therefore consensus is leaning towards the belief of the graduated response. Eberhard, you have your hand up again.
Yeah, no, I was saying I'm opposing because I oppose everything. I don't really have a problem with if we can get. I don't really wish anybody to have to undergo another PDP after I've seen how this works. I don't really care. I want some form of stability, in particular with regards to the current managers. How we do this, I don't care. If it takes consensus, I don't care. I will not be against consensus. I will not be the one lone dissenter. But I don't really see what the problem is. Why are we fudging so much? We were supposed to make a report to council. If we can say we have these issues, we feel that a PDP is warranted, but council, there is also some feeling that council might go and try some guidelines. The point is, the guideline approach as far as financing didn't work because every country can decide whether to pay or not and how much. Okay? We need some form of guidance or whatever that is binding on the board. And as long as we cannot get something that is binding on the board, no matter how we call it, all of this is a waste of time.
Okay, thanks, Eberhard. Chris, you have your hand up.
I'm sorry, I'm going to need to do a sort of question and answer session with Elle, because I can't see a way through this without doing it this way. So Eberhard and Nigel, you can chime in if you want. Eberhard, when you say it's binding on the board, you mean that the board has to make a decision in a particular way, I assume. So interrupt me if I'm wrong.
No, the board has to be predictable.
Yeah. How do you... You can't... So, apart from... Unless you live in sort of nirvana, when you're dealing with issues that are not factual, but are actually, you know, political and nuanced, and you can't... There is no... The board has to be predictable. It doesn't matter how specific you make a policy... There is always a bit of it that is down to interpretation. And it's a policy is a double-edged sword, because what it means is that it's not just that one side is bound by it, but both sides are bound by it. And if you don't agree with the interpretation, you really have got very few places to go other than to court. because it's written down as policy, and interpretation can only then end up being decided in court. If you have guidelines, then you have flexibility on both sides. I agree, and I accept that that is flexibility for the board as well, but that is no worse than it is now. What it provides you with is pointers in the right direction that will push a sane and sensible governing body like a board to take steps in the right way. Will it guarantee it? No, it won't. But policy won't guarantee it either, and the disadvantage of policy is that you're bound by it just as much as anybody else is. And if you want, no bullshit here, Al, if you want to try and protect your position as best you can as the incumbent in Namibia, I genuinely believe that you're better off to go for a series of guidelines that mean that and I'm talking obviously not in this case about delegation, but redelegation, which I acknowledge we haven't got to yet, but you are much better off to go with a series of guidelines that enables the board to interpret things rather than to sit down and try and write some really firm rules, because this is not a thing that lends itself to really firm rules. You can't prove anything about how you got stuff from John Postel. You can't. You just don't, because you have no documentation. Your bottom line is the court, and you know that, and I know that, and we both accept that, and that's your bottom line. What you want is a circumstance where the board is provided with input from the CCTLD community that helps it to come to the right decision. But if you try and force it by laying down rules which are inflexible, it'll end up coming back to slap you, me, and everybody else in the face. There is no guarantee, Eberhard. There never will be a guarantee. And you cannot expect the board...
Listen, yep. Maybe so. You are a lawyer. I am a gynecologist.
Well, you're a lawyer,
too. In the voice of a famous movie, what's the difference? The point is, as a lawyer, you know how law and things evolve. Common law states that the courts shape the law so that a situation is predictable and that similar people are dealt with in a similar way. Statutory law is a little bit different, there it's all written down, so that applies very nicely to our situation. As a gynecologist, I am under the control of a regulatory body which has got ethical rules which are very ill-defined. And in Australia, it's exactly the same method, but we are all behaving ourselves because we know there are some guidelines and which we can test. At the moment, there is nothing. And I'm not speaking just for .NA. For many of our smaller operations, if the board decides to listen to some Kalashnikov wielding corrupt puppet, it's gone. What can I do now? I have to go to court. I have to maybe even go to court in the States. That's not the right way of dealing with people who have been doing this for 20 years very properly. There must be some form to protect this. Never mind that the same applies to retirement, but it's less of a problem because if a country ceases to exist, this has to retire in some other form. But they have done redelegation starting with Midgard and others, which are simply not according to what was written down at the time, what anybody expected. Yeah, and I'm not even mentioning .au. The point is that I don't want to revise .au or BitGovernor. I want to have predictability. I want to know this is what I must do. This is what I've been doing for 20 years. This is what I must do. And this is what I can expect.
Okay, thanks, Eberhard. I think the point's well made. And again, I guess the difference between some form or some specialist subject in medical science is that there are legal and then self-regulatory issues that arise that end up with codes of practice and so on. And they are by necessity prescriptive and describe what behaviours can apply or not. We're dealing with something quite different when it comes to CCTLDs in countries and the sheer differences in size, shape and scale of, you know, tiny countries of 900 people versus enormous countries of 1.2 billion, different political flavours and so on. It's very, very much more difficult to shake the tree to say here's a set of absolutely binding universal policies that must apply everywhere, as opposed to here's a set of guidelines and there will be some instances where these issues will be more important than others and so on. Chris has his hand up and then Eberhard again.
No, I'm sorry, Bernie. Sorry, Keith, I just haven't put my hand down.
Oh, sorry. Eberhard.
Okay. Whether it's a big country or a small country or a big CCTLD or a small CCTLD makes no difference. But it's a bilateral thing between John Postel, or now IANA, and the manager. Whether it's a big manager or a small manager, or an overweight or not, doesn't matter. There must be predictability and there must be fairness. And at the moment, I don't see how we can put this in. And I do see that the board has been unfair by doing whatever they want, how they want it, modifying their behavior, rules, policy, guidelines, whatever you call it, anytime, any way they want it. That's not the way a company or a non-profit company should conduct itself. So we have been asked to review the situation. Bernie has done excellent work on it. Now the outcome is that the board has not done this right and there is a need for some other form. I don't need a PDP more than a Goiter. Yeah? But we need somehow to get the board to behave itself. Put it quite bluntly, and it can be minuted as such.
Well, again, I think the issue is the board saying that where they are inventing policy on the fly, they don't want to, but it's because of the circumstances that they are facing a decision, and they have acknowledged that they would like the CCNSO to provide them with better guidance. So, you know, I don't think we're seeking to witch hunt the board for decisions it's made, more how do we get them into a position where they can make better decisions in the future.
Keith? This
is Patricio? Yes,
Patricio. Yeah, I'm sorry, I was trying to raise my little hand, but my Adobe crashed. I just wanted to say two things. One is, apologize because I have to leave in a couple of minutes. Even though I believe that from a conceptual point of view, what we really need is policy, and I don't really understand Chris's point about the flexibility, because I don't think there is really any use for flexibility on our end, given that we're talking about delegations and redelegations. I will favor a graduated approach in going first for guidelines. And the reason is practical. It will be much faster. We will have much sooner than if we did a PDP something that will make the process more predictable, which is what Eberhard wants, and we all want, I think. And two, after we have those guidelines, we can decide that they really are what we want, and we could afterwards propose to run a PDP to make those guidelines into policy, and that process will be much more streamlined because we will have a well-developed document from the beginning. And also, the other reason I favor this more gradual approach, it is because it is hard to get things right the first time, so probably our guidelines will not be perfect. We will have to amend them and debug them until we are satisfied with it, and that will be useful for if we later decide to run a PDP.
Excellent. Thanks, Patricia. I see Everhart with a tick by his name indicating strong agreement with your assertions there. Dottie has her hand up.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, hi, Dottie.
Well, my observation is simply this. As we proceed through the years from the early days to now, what we have is a lot of the original pioneers and the people with the experience of living through it all in their bones and frame of reference, and we have new people to whom there really isn't any past as a frame of reference. And I think that in making the guidelines, which is the way I think it would be important to go, that we be clear enough so that we reflect part of the wisdom of the past that we all enjoy now, but which the future people won't.
Okay. Thank you, Dottie. Young M, you had a comment.
Yes. My system also crashed, so I couldn't raise my hand. Basically, I agree with what Patricia has just said, just because it's going to be much more efficient. But I would also like to propose, in addition to what Dottie said, that in the guideline, we can try to put in mechanisms that strongly propose the board to consult the TCNSO community, and this is in line with what Dottie is saying, so that they don't just go off and devise a committee on their own, but if they have doubts or anything, if they're not sure, then make sure that they come to the CCNSO community.
Okay, thank you, Youngham. And I think we need to bring this to a conclusion fairly quickly, but Nigel has his hand up. Nigel.
Yeah, I'll just say what I said on the chat in case not everybody's watching the chat. If there was a form of words incorporated Patricio's compromise, I would certainly not vote against that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, can I take it then, Patricio's comments were most valuable, and I know Bernie's taken note of them. If we could work away, Bernie and I can work away on trying to get a reflection of that into the document, that's probably the best way to move forward. If that's the case, do we have any further unfinished aspects of the delegation report? If not, do we have time, Bernie, do you think, to work our way through the approved redelegation report?
I would think so, given the structure of the documents is fairly similar.
Okay, and we have to firstly note Nigel has expressed some reservations about the word approved as in perhaps not quite the right terminology in the context of the redelegation report. So perhaps consented redelegation report or something similar to that might be more appropriate. Nigel, did you have any specific suggestion in that regard?
Thanks, Keith. Do you simply want me to be pedantic about the English? I think the word is consensual or with consent.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, I think you raised a very valid point.
It's just a question of clarity. I mean, when I saw approved delegation, you immediately think of the fact that something has gone before the board and then as a result of a board resolution been approved. But in fact, it's a delegation with consent before it goes to the board as well as after.
Okay, so something along the lines of consensual redelegation or something.
With consent is plainer English. Consensual makes me think of other activities.
Well, there's a thought. Okay. Moving ahead and recognising that the title will change, Bernie, do you want to walk us quickly through this document?
Yes, sir. Title change, yes, done. RFC, hold on a sec, I'll be right with you.
In the meantime, I don't think we should start with this because we will not get it finished and it's only 18 minutes left and I think we should postpone the reading of this for the next meeting.
Well, I think let's have a quick skim through and see if there's any major points of conflict.
We have to do this again next time, so why do it now in the middle of your night? And I must also say we're all a little bit tired and some of us actually have other commitments. But the issue is gone already and we have to start doing this. I think this is a duplication.
I think a lot of it is repetition from the delegation report, so I'd like to make our attempt to get through some of it at least tonight. And again, you know, our next meeting is purely to finalise the documents that we're presenting in Cartagena, and there will be some people who are not able to be on the next call as well, so I'd value their input. So I think, please, Bernie, if you could walk us through it, or should I say jog us through it to keep us going at a pace.
Yes, sir. Section 1.1 goes through the basic documentation as we have in the previous report. The addition is the .by redelegation. The information contained in the discussion regarding the redelegation was held in private, which is an issue. The .co redelegation is the same. The approval of IDN CCTLDs, which contains the request from the board to the CCNSO to help define local internet community. Someone's typing violently and is not on mute. Section 1.2 on the inferred cases, what we've got, no longer allowing individuals, we've done. The .ly redelegation is interesting in that it's a two-step, and in the first step, which was a provisional redelegation, there's absolutely no documentation and no IANA report. So that certainly raises some question. The .kz redelegation of June 2005 is the first one without a sponsorship agreement. .gd is the first one to not mention community support in the documentation. .bb had some issues regarding not meeting technical requirements. I love this. Okay. Sorry, it's going to take a second to get back to where we want.
Chief, I really have to object to this. This is an important document, and I really don't like to go through this on the fly. Chop.
Objection noted, but I'm not hearing anyone else object at this stage.
Sorry, guys, this thing is really not collaborating very well. Okay, let's try to get back to section 1.2. Okay, we have the .gd BB, okay. AE redelegation, no documentation of community support. .NG redelegation, 2009. No record of board discussion. .CO redelegation, November 2009. No minutes of the board meeting. That completes section one of the cases that were highlighted for redelegations. It does not include all redelegations, all approved redelegations. Some of them are rather vanilla and straightforward, but it includes the ones where there was something that was a little different. In the analysis, we have the text for RFC 1591 versus News Memo 1 versus, oh, we've lost the damn page again, versus ICP1, which I will be grafting or moving over to the two other reports as I discussed with L, which sort of summarizes the situation. And then we go into section 2.2, where we analyze the issues. We talk about the lack of board minutes and an IANA report for LY. KZ, we talk about in our public consultation report, we noted that this was significantly interesting and an issue. .GD, in July 2006, this application meets some of the requirements, again, from our public consultation report. BB, again, from our public consultation report, and the issue of not meeting the technical requirements. AE, we've got the text from the board member that raises concerns about community support, which is all in the vein of what is community support and how do you demonstrate it. NG, no recording of board discussion, and the CO redelegation. Again, there's a question around board minutes. So that's the analysis of those various parts. Under issues, or not at least make public the minutes when dealing with redelegations is a documented issue. Public IANA reports are edited versions of the report provided to the board. They're constantly changing in format and the information they provide. And to quote L, it would be nice to have some stability and a process to understand how the IANA reports change. As a person who's become intimately familiar with every single IANA report over the last year, I find it difficult sometimes to match up what one report does in one way and then another report. And sometimes they're about the same people. It's just the standard has completely changed and there has been no notice, no explanation why. And sometimes those changes are quite significant. ICP1, not supported by the community. And requirements for redelegation, we go into a bit of a discussion relative to RFC 1591 and current. And then we look at some of the issues that are generated by that. Issues, interpretation of consent by IANA's own admission is highly variable depending on the number of factors including culture and the immediate physical security of the CCTLD manager. The practice is inadequate when considering the importance of a redelegation. So basically what we're saying here is that, and L had brought this up, the whole issue of what is considered consent is certainly highly, the minimum we can say is that it's highly variable. And I think that's an issue that this group will have with that. Under the significantly interested parties section, we've got the various texts. And which goes into the local internet community requests from the board that we look into, or at least that the CCNSO look into. So then we've got some of the sort of going into the guts of this. There's no documentation on the evolution from interested parties to community support to national ISPs and ISP associations, etc. There's no documentation on the verification and ranking of these interested parties. There's no documentation on what constitutes a statement of support. IANA reports provide a variable amount of information ranging from none to elaborate regarding community support information. Examining all IANA redelegation reports with respect to community support requirements reveals a great flexibility in interpretation. Some of this flexibility is obviously required by the very nature of these communities, which include significant cultural differences. However, sections 124, 125, and 126 of this report present a situation where there was no community support presented for the request, although there was government support, which were recommended by IANA and accepted by the ICANN board. These decisions indicate a shift from community and government support to government support for these requests where community support cannot be demonstrated. This inferred policy shift should be addressed as per the April 2010 board request. That is the one regarding better understanding and definition of what local internet community support means. And we've got some of the standard things in 3.7, 3.8, and that takes us through the issues that were brought up regarding redelegation. So there are a number of things. One of them matches up perfectly with the board request defining what is local internet community support and how do you demonstrate it. So if we go through 4, we've got the standard 3 options, which is do nothing, do something but not a PDP, and do a PDP. And in section 4.2, we talk about really we believe the group should be looking at a graduated response is probably, or a blended response is probably the best thing, as we have just finished discussing for the delegation report, which is interpretation guidelines developed for the board with a recommendation to the CCNSO that if that doesn't work, that they launch a PDP to resolve the issue. And, sir, I've tried to complete that in 10 minutes, and that's the best I can do.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bernie. I think just noting Eberhardt's objection, given that we're currently due to meet in 2 weeks' time, I wonder whether, given the quantum of discussion we had on the delegation report and potential issues as a result in this report, whether we shouldn't be seeking to have an additional meeting next Thursday, as in Thursday the 18th, to further discuss this report. Because I would like to try and finalise this report along with the delegation report so that we at least have 3 complete reports for Cartagena. And I'm getting a tick from Chris on that. And Eberhardt would like to say something.
I think a meeting next week is a good idea, but I don't think we will be able to finalise this because the redelegation report for approved, the delegations has has to be aligned with the ones, with the hostile ones. We cannot do one half of the redelegation without the other. So we will not get that finished.
Well, I think at least we'll need to have read and reviewed the hostile redelegation report and have an understanding of what it's covering. So I think we can make an attempt to get out the papers for, or all the remaining papers, including the progress report and executive summary for Cartagena as well. And if we could cover off as much of that as possible on a call next week and then see what we can finalize on our final call on the 25th. I don't want to put undue pressure on anyone, but I guess we'd have to look at a meeting at probably 8 hours after this one, so it'd be 2100 UTC on the 18th. Are there any issues of substance that anyone's noticed in the redelegation report on the way through that should be addressed?
It's too quick. I can't really answer that.
Okay. Okay, well, let's hold further discussion on it and schedule the call for next week.
That's fine.
Okay, just working our way through the rest of the agenda, we probably should try and do some work on a progress report that obviously won't be out 7 days before next week's meeting, but we'll try and get it out with as much notice as possible for you to have a look at. And Bernie's made some substantial progress on the unfriendly redelegation report, and that could well be in a position to go out in the next 24 hours. Okay, so any other business to discuss? If not, let me see what we can do to schedule the meeting for next Thursday, and we will meet then and then again on the 24th. If there's nothing else, thank you all for your participation. Been a very lively and useful discussion tonight. Thank you all for your contributions.
All right. Have a nice one.
Thank you.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.